Side 3.
The other place that the ego likes to go is into the past. And the reason why it likes to go into the past is because once again, it doesn't have to do anything. And you'll hear people sitting around talking about the golden age that went past. Do you remember the 1920s? Do you remember the golden age of the big band swing era? Do you remember those incredible times we had when we were at school and we were kids and life was so carefree and so marvelous? And the reason why the ego likes to do that is because it doesn't see the negativity of the past. It has a way of dry cleaning the past, so to speak. And all the grubby bits and all the grody little bits drop out of the past, and the past will always seem like it was this amazing event. And so here you are, you have this personality that has the option of being in the past, being in the future, or being in the present. And the only place that the ego doesn't really want to be is right now. Because right now is real, it's true. How much money do I have? How is this relationship actually going? How much joy of living do I express? How much power have I got? And of course, that means you facing yourself and being real. As you develop more power, you'll find that people will respond. And as they respond, you will have all sorts of opportunities to manipulate them, to use them, to cajole them in one way or another. As you become more powerful, you're going to have to be very, very careful that you keep that power to yourself. The power you are developing as a female or as a male is your power to enhance and enlighten and magnify your spiritual growth through the earth plane. It is not a power that you're going to go out and use to manipulate people. It's extremely easy when you're powerful to get people to do what you want. You can project consciousness and they'll pick it up and they'll think it's their idea and they'll do whatever you're thinking. You can manipulate them by denying them access to your power. You can manipulate them by using your power in a negative way, by threatening them. You can use your power in a million ways to encase them and imprison them. But we're looking to create a world, are we not, that is a world of love, a world of freedom, a world of transcendence and peace. And if you use that power in a manipulative way, all you're doing is you're creating a more powerful quantum of evil, and there's enough of that stuff already. As you become powerful, you're also going to have to become magnanimous. And magnanimous means that you allow the world to be what it wants to be, and you allow a certain amount of vulnerability in your life. You're not going to use that power to manipulate, and you're not going to use it to force people to become things that they don't want to become. Everybody will, in the end, understand these concepts. The transcendence for humankind is already in place. But some people may take a lifetime. I believe in reincarnation, so some may take more than one lifetime. But whatever which way you look at it, you have to allow people time. You have to allow them to be. And as you do, then you become free. I want you to be careful with that, because so many people get a little bit of power, they develop psychic perceptions, they develop inner knowing, they develop some kind of philosophy or some kind of way of healing, and they make that into an entire story. They make that into something that everybody else has to accept, that everybody else is supposed to become a part of. It's almost as if in not believing it too strongly yourself, you want to go out and you want to sign everybody up. If you believe something, you're going to keep it silently inside of you. Obviously, if a person comes along to you and says, "That's a really interesting lifestyle that you lead. How do you do it?" Or like, "What is the answer to this or that?" Then give them the advice. But if you're truly powerful, you're going to keep most of what you know within you. You're never going to have to defend anything. Because if you have to defend it, what you're saying is, "I don't believe it." If you'd believe it, you don't have to defend it. Because you're not looking for converts. All you're looking for is a dedication to that light within you to create more power. As this power begins to develop inside of you, you're going to have to develop concentration. One of the things that the average human being is not able to do is concentrate. There's a nice little story that I heard once about a young novice that was in a monastery training to become a priest. And the head of the monastery, I think the abbot, said to him that most people don't have the power to concentrate, and they don't have the power to concentrate upon God. And the abbot said to this young novice, if you can say the Lord's Prayer from beginning to end without losing your concentration or being distracted, I will give you my horse. So the young novice began to say the Lord's Prayer, and he began, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And then he turned to the abbot and he said, Does that include the saddle? And that's the way people are. They get onto a path and they allow themselves to be blipped off. As you become more powerful, you're going to understand that you have inside of yourself a jewel, and that jewel is your ability to concentrate. When you can concentrate on a topic, on a goal, on something that you're doing, not only will you get the job done faster and better, but you allow that concentration to resonate more and more powerfully, ever developing more and more energy. If you put out thought forms about yourself and you lose your concentration, you'll be bumped off and distracted from your course of action. You'll be bumped off from your destiny. You will have seen that perhaps in your life when you've gone shopping. Let us say you've gone to a store to buy a pair of shoes. You walk in a store, and the whole of the store is developed to basically break your concentration, to distract you into buying other products. If you go into the store and you want a pair of shoes, you can go in and you can get out in less than 10 minutes. You know the shoes, you know your size, you walk in, you say, give me a pair of black shoes. They give you five options, you say, I'll take that one, you try them on, you pay, you go. What happens to people is they enter the store and they go past the perfume department and they get distracted and they spend 15 or 20 minutes trying on the perfumes, and then they move from the perfumes to the scarves and from the scarves to the hats, and then they spend 10 minutes in the electronic department, and at the end of the day they spend 2 or 3 hours in the store, they didn't get the shoes, and they wound up with a whole bunch of things that were not necessarily pertinent to their life. As you develop thought form empowerment, you are going to concentrate on those things that you want. You're not going to fret about them, because that will put you right back into negative yearning. But you're going to concentrate. You're going to create the feeling or the thought form, and you'll express it, and you'll begin to move towards it. Any time that you have negative yearning about the thing not arriving, or your consciousness not providing those things you want, realize that you're taking energy away. Any time that you can feel it granted, any time that you can feel yourself right there having it, you begin to create more energy, and that thing will appear in your life. As you develop this concentration, you'll develop the ability to hold that thought form indefinitely until it finally shows up. One of the exercises that I used when I was training in my metaphysical quest was I would look at a candle, and I'd look at it with open eyes, slightly lowering my eyesight, so my eyesight was at a downward angle. And I would look at the candle, and I would wait and see how long it took before a totally distracted thought form would come into my mind. And when I first started that exercise, I wasn't able to look at that candle with a blank mind for more than about 10 seconds. So that meant that my thought forms had 10 seconds of life force in them, so to speak, 10 seconds of power. Bit by bit, I trained my mind not to interrupt what I was doing. And I eventually, over a number of years, got to the point where I could more or less hold a concentrated blank mind for 30 minutes. And of course, there are people in the world that can do it for hours on end. I just happen to reach the peak at 30 minutes. But imagine if you're concentrating on getting something and you can only think about it for 10 seconds without losing your concentration. How much power have you put in? And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, for those things that are important in your life, for those things that have real meaning, I want you to learn to concentrate on them. I want you to become directed about the things that you do. And as you become directed, you will find yourself increasing your power dramatically overnight. That part of concentration, where you layer one thought form over the next without fretting, without putting in negativity, I call consistency. And consistency is putting out those thought forms, releasing them, and allowing them to bring you reality. As you layer thought forms one on top of the next, you begin to develop, like the skin of an onion, a stronger and stronger and stronger power. And so the consistency factor is important. Once you have consistency in its place, then you can deal with the other subdivision of concentration, which is what I call density. And density is empowered by your will. It is basically how much do you want it? You will have found yourself in life in situations where you were facing extreme difficulty. Perhaps you found yourself on a lonely road out in the country in the middle of the night. It was pouring with rain. You had two flat tires, and you desperately needed a ride home. The density of that thought form saved you, and along came somebody to pick you up. Sometimes density will work for you in financial areas, and perhaps you've had the experience of being, let's say, one day away from having to pay your rent or being thrown out of your house, and the sheer need, the sheer intention that you had bought you some money unexpectedly. It was almost as if your will said, I have to survive. And that power inside of you, blipped out from all of the life that's around you, a check that allowed you to make your rent. And so, as you develop concentration, you're going to layer it with consistency, and you're going to develop density. And as you develop density, ask yourself, how much do I want this thing in my life, whatever it might be? A good analogy would be if you were swimming on the bottom of a swimming pool and something came up out of the pool and grabbed you by the ankle. Imagine yourself there and Swamp Thing has got you by the ankle. How much would you want to get up out into the light, into the air to breathe again? When you can put that kind of density into your life, you get what you want. Because you're coming out of this laser beam of intention, and you're not allowing 1,000 things to distract you. If your lifestyle is vague, if your lifestyle is distracted, then begin to drop in a discipline that allows you to clear out the distraction. It's a simple process. All you have to ask yourself is, hey, what is important to me? What is true? What do I really want? And you concentrate on those things, and you don't concentrate on the associations or the other events that are nothing to do with you going towards your goal. And your goal may be financial, or your goal may be to take 6 months off, whatever it may be. But once you're clear, you can move towards that goal, and you can hold that power, and you can express it consistently, and if you have the intention, then the density is there. As all of this begins to develop as a crescendo in your life, you begin to develop what I call power mode, power play. And what that describes is a person who creates their life absolutely in a seat of power. Power mode is you using every moment of your life as an affirmation to create even more power. And power play is you taking time to nurture yourself, to take time out of the effort of making money or the effort of sustaining a relationship or the effort of being whatever you are, where you can relax and collate all of that and see it for its utter beauty. Isn't it true that when you watch a sportsman that is excellent at what she does or what he does, they don't effort at what they do? You can watch this in some of the famous tennis players. There's the kind that rushes about, hustle and bustle, and there are others that come out of power mode, power play. They seem to move across the court to the place that the ball is going to be hit. And the reason they do is because they're totally in tune with the energy of what is going on. They're in tune with the feelings of their opposition. They're in tune with the way that the ball travels, its velocity, the angle. And they have a way of sort of making it seem easy. And in fact, life is easy. Sometimes we tend to think that it has to be hard in order for us to think that we're making any progress. But in fact, when you are in flow, when you're in this power mode, power play syndrome, everything is simple. Everybody shows up on time. Everything clicks into position. And if you go down a pattern of life that begins to break up on you, where power mode, power play isn't in there, where things aren't flowing, you need to pull back and take a look and say, hey, wait a minute, is this where I'm supposed to be going? Why don't people respond the way we expect them to respond? Why aren't things working out the way they should work out? So often we teach our children to push through that, to transcend the struggle, to plow on regardless. And of course, in the end, some of them make it, some of them don't. But it isn't supposed to be that kind of struggle. If you come upon a rock on your path, do you bash it with your head until it breaks and then move on? Or do you pull back and take a look of a way of going round it? And we don't teach our people that. We teach them to head in, plow in no matter what. And of course, that only causes struggle, it causes difficulty and tension, and eventually that tension will manifest in your body as a loss of life force or disease. As you become comfortable with this power mode, power play idea, you're going to begin to stake out parts of your life as evidence of the strength that you have. You're going to acknowledge your relationships. You're going to acknowledge yourself when you earn some extra money. You're going to acknowledge yourself when you do something on time and well. You're going to acknowledge yourself when you put yourself out a little bit more. Every day you're going to face that limitation inside of you. Every day you're going to bump up against your last known boundary where the ego has allowed you to expand so far. But as you come out of power, as you come out of this absolute desire to be more, you're going to push past that limitation, but not in the sense of struggle, but in the sense of saying, gosh, that's where my limitation used to be, but I can comfortably move beyond that. I think today I'll try to walk an extra mile. I think today I'll try something I've never done. I think today I'll face my creditors, or whatever that might be. And then bit by bit, these little operations where you've gone past your last known boundary become statues. They become the pillar or the foundation of your life. And bit by bit, you'll see that all of it is power, that the power mode is there, and in fact, you're operating out of a keyboard that is totally power. And so the tune has got to become powerful. It's a simple process, but it requires for you to be awake, for you to acknowledge the processes that are going on in your life. As that begins to become a natural part of your life, then you're going to want to establish absolute control over all of your affairs. That means you have to be in control of money, your body, emotions, mentality, the philosophy you've built, and you have to understand this deeper spiritual quest in your life. Control is only you making choices, making decisions that nurture you. In any one given situation, you can give away your power or you can retain it. And if the person that you're in that situation with wants your power from you, why would you want to give it away? And if you do give it away, it has to be your conscious decision. But in fact, what you're going to try to do is, you're going to try to contain or to control as much of any one given situation in your life as possible. The object of control is not to impose it upon other people. The object of control is to impose it upon yourself. So when people offer you choices, you choose the one that allows you the greatest identity, the greatest control. And that, of course, can be exemplified in every part of your life. Perhaps you might like to stop for a moment and think about your life. And think about all of those places that you gave away control. Because when you gave away control, you gave away your power. Remembering, of course, that we live in a society, we live in a world where every institution is designed to disenfranchise you, to take away your power. Everybody is trying to control you. You're not going to rant and rave and push against that. All you're going to do is basically pedal back out of that situation. And any time that you cannot exercise control, then you're going to leave. Then you're going to pull out. In some situations, you have to give your control away. But if you do, I want you to think about it, and I want you to ask yourself, is this what I want? Let's say, for example, a friend offers you a lift to the station. You're going to give away your control to them while they drive the car. But as you get into that car, you need to make a decision. A, do I feel happy about giving away the control here? Secondarily, do I feel confident about my friend's ability to drive this car safely? And C, is it what I want? And then, if all of those answers come up as yes, then you can say, okay, fine, on this occasion, I'm happy to give away control. Obviously, a friend driving you to the station is not like a major decision in your life. But we have all the time all of these situations around us which express our limited power or our limited ability to control. And so as you go through your life and you constantly comb it for what is your strongest point, it becomes an affirmation. I want you to spend a few moments each day affirming the strength and beauty that you have. You can affirm with your words by saying, I feel strong, I feel powerful. Or you can affirm with your thought forms where you spend a moment feeling the strength, feeling the power all around you. Or, and best of all, you can affirm through the very essence of your being. So spend a few moments of every day affirming the strength that you have. And as the day progresses, affirm once more. 10 seconds to feel strong. 10 seconds to accept yourself lovingly. 10 seconds to feel the power that courses through your body. 10 seconds to see the calm and the peace that is there among the cacophony of daily life. 10 seconds to understand the relationship that you have with the world. 10 seconds to feel that you are abundant. 10 seconds to feel that you'll always be looked after. 10 seconds, perhaps, to look at where you're going in life. What is your purpose? 10 seconds to look at some of the situations that perhaps are not going so well. And as you get into the habit of using these spare moments, you begin to get feedback. And all of that continues inexorably towards your empowerment. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a conscious, powerful individual that can return back to his people, back to his tribe or her tribe, and allow a transcendence in the world. You can't change people by telling them to change. You can only change them by showing the change that's gone on in you. If you express power, people copy you. If you express weakness or negativity, they copy that. And what we're looking at is trying to create a planet of people that can come out of that same power. That can come out of expressing power in an absolutely new way. Not the power of old that mobilized armies, that created famine, that mobilized these incredible movements that infringed upon millions of people, but a power that sets you free and sets the people around you free. As that freedom becomes important to you, you're going to be able to see the restriction in your life. And as you look at that restriction, you're not going to accept it. You're not going to accept anything that doesn't allow you total freedom. You're not going to accept the rules and regulations that others impose upon you. Obviously, you have to obey the laws of the country. Otherwise, they will put you in prison, or they will lock you up, or they will create for you some kind of restriction. But within those laws, there's plenty of opportunity for you to become fluid and free-flowing and magnanimous and carefree about your life. As you become strong, then you're going to move out of manipulation, you're going to move out of restriction, and you're going to have all of that energy resonating for your highest spiritual goal. Expanding personal power is no more than watching your life and going for what is strongest. Having the courage to say to people, communicating to them in a loving way, what it is you want. And you'll be amazed that when you tell people what you want, they'll give it to you. 9 times out of 10. Because usually they will come out of not knowing what they want. And so when you say, hey, I want to go to the Italian restaurant, they didn't know where they wanted to eat anyway, and they say, sure, fine, let's do it. As you come out of self-confidence, that power will always be with you. And that power will carry you through to the end of your days. Powerful, strong, a service to humanity, a service to the loved ones and the people that will be lucky enough to be pulled into your life. And you will enjoy that. It'll mean more to you than any other thing that you ever experience in the physical plane. Thank you.
Please stop the cassette now and turn the tape over to continue the program on the other side.